Hello and welcome back to Ola Bonjour Konnichiwa, the podcast with myself, Lorna, and herself, Audrey. How are you?
Hello, all good, all good. Racing around, you know, keeping
Good.
busy.
Busy, busy, busy. What a week it's been, actually, down here in Cork. It has been, I mean, I'm sure you've probably seen it on the news and stuff, the weather.
Yeah.
Cork took an absolute battering. And I mean, a serious, serious battering. Like, East Cork is absolutely destroyed. So Middleton was basically like a river flowing through it. The devastation has been something else. Not just Middleton, out there's other places in Cork and East Cork as well. Houses have been destroyed. Businesses are gone. Just gone.
Yeah.
There's schools, preschools that they just don't know when they're going to open again. It's absolutely devastating. And obviously I live in East Cork as well. So I just wanted to give quickly a little shout out there for there's a place in Middleton called the Middleton Hub, and they're kind of the center place now that are taking donations. And you know, the community spirit has been unbelievable, and I have to say that unbelievable. Like, there's businesses giving so much clean supplies, water, food. There's businesses coming down with rakes and rakes of hot food for people in housing estates. It's lovely to see. Obviously it's awful what's going on, like, but the Middleton Hub in Middleton, obviously, you'll see it on if you look at on any of their social media, you'll see what they need. So they're posting stuff like today. Now they hit up that they needed a car seat because people's cars as well have been destroyed.
Yeah.
I don't know about insurance. Like, I know a lot of places, their house insurance, they won't cover the house insurance. The businesses, they might not have insurance for it because it's absolutely, whether you call it an act of God or what, I don't know, but there are some badness now with the insurance. And of course, then we had Leo Varadkar, we had Micheál Martin all down days later. Like, and that's one thing I will say, like, the TDs kind of come about when they know Virgin Media news cameras are around. But there has been one or two TDs that have been out there since the first drop of rain fell, and they haven't taken a break at all. Like, we had a hotel here and schools putting up camp beds and everything for people. Like, and I know in particular there's one TD, Danielle Toomey is her name, in East Cork, and she has been unbelievable by all accounts, by what I'm seeing. She's on the ground, she's literally helping people out, giving them food, everything. She's unbelievable. So, you know, people remember this when it comes to
elections and stuff
like that, who was there and who was just there for getting their mug on the telly. That's all I'd say about that. But just, there's a couple of I Donate pages as well. I just shared it on my Instagram page as well. And that's to help families in Middleton and the surrounding areas that have been badly damaged as well. So just any little thing at all that we can do with, you know, if we have a platform or anything, just to help people out, because it's absolute devastation down here. And then to make it worse, there's another yellow rain warning tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
I saw some of the videos on TikTok. It's obviously been all over my TikTok. But there's one, like a nail salon that's been just trending as far as I can see on TikTok. But what I think is mental, and I don't understand, it's all the staff were walking around in the salon on outside barefoot. And I'm like, is that sanitary? Like, that can't be safe. Like, I see loads of people going around barefoot. And I know nobody likes to have wet shoes and socks, but I would have thought that
where are you seeing this? Like, I've never seen this.
Like, I'll send it to you.
You couldn't see their feet because the water was up to their boobies. Like, the water was hip deep. Like, it was,
this was,
I'd say a lot of people didn't think, like, it should have been a red warning. Without a doubt, it should have been a red warning. And I don't know why it wasn't a red warning, whether because it costs money when it's a red warning, because people have to be let off work and stuff like that. But we weren't prepared for it. Like, if we knew it was going to be anyway bad, they would have been giving out sandbags and stuff like that. I mean, this is like the main, like, I don't go to the city anymore. The city for me is Middleton. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the country's town. Do you know what I mean? The big city.
Yes, no, I understand.
Yeah, and it's just been wiped out. Not wiped out. I mean, I'm full confidence they'll all get back on their feet. And that's the main thing as well, is that, you know, I know we say every year, you know, how important it is to try and shop local and stuff. But this year especially, I know myself, I'm going to make a conscious effort to try and get, like, my Christmas presents and stuff in Middleton. Just to help, like, in any small way, just to get them back up on their feet, because they're all so, so lovely. Like, and I know, like, Charlie's shoe shop, the lady, she's so nice in there, and Charlie's barber down there, and, you know, they're just all so lovely down there. But it's absolutely devastating. And when you see the videos and everything, it's heartbreaking. But
yeah,
and how quickly it happened as well. It's just like literally a couple of hours and your life is up in a heap. Like even my own village here, like I was in work when it was getting bad, you know, and I think I left at like 7 a.m. and it was raining, but it wasn't that bad. And I was listening to the radio and work and I was going, my God, they're saying East Cork is very bad. And then I started messaging people down here and they'd actually closed my village. The fire brigade were down here and everything. So I was like, oh, so I was like, get the child out of school and get home quick.
Yeah. I saw that there was videos of kids getting off school buses all right and the water was like up to their thighs. Yeah, like they're literally walking around. No choice. Where were you going to go?
We all got messages. You had to come and collect your kids and everything. It was just scary. But look, best wishes to everyone in Middleton and in Killa and Mogheely and Glanmire, everywhere that's been severely affected. And I do hope that you're all up and running back on your feet fairly soon. Now, so on to a lighter topic, right? This week seems to have been a lot of kind of going back in time nearly. Last week we had Jada Pinkett Smith, that one. She's still rabbit nan all this week, gobshite. But this week, Britney Spears is bringing out her new book, The Woman in Me, right? I actually have it pre-ordered because...
Did you hear? She smashed Harry's record. So Harry held the record for the most pre-orders. I think it was 3 million. And last time I checked, and it's probably more now, Britney had 9 million pre-orders of her book.
Fair play for her. Do you know what? I think she deserves every success, whatever you say about Britney, but she deserves every single success.
I think most people wish Britney well. I do think most people. I just hope she gets the money. I hope it's not taken from her and there's no one... Oh, she always seems to be taken advantage of somewhere along the way. So I just hope she's had such a
sad had such a sad life. Like when you think of it, she was like back in the day when I was a teenager, it was all Britney, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys and all this. Now I was firmly team Backstreet Boys, right? Like I had no time for Coke and Noodlehead, Justin Timberlake, right? I was
shopping local with boys on.
Oh, sure you were, yeah. Boys on. No, I went overseas. I was mad for the Americans. I still would like the Backstreet Boys. But I never really liked NSYNC. I never kind of got into them.
No.
But Justin, anyway, at the time, Justin and Britney were like the golden couple of Hollywood, right? So everyone was into them, blah, blah, blah. Then they broke up. And why we thought they broke up for years was that everyone thought Britney cheated with this choreographer fella, Wade Robson, right? Mm-hmm. Justin then went off to make the Cry Me a River video, which basically had a Britney lookalike in it.
Yeah.
And looking back now on that, that was real shaming her to a T.
Yeah.
And if you look back at the interview that Britney did, which remember that Diane Sawyer interview?
Yes, I've seen it. It's come up a few times in the last week. Yeah.
And they showed her the video for Cry Me a River. I remember Britney broke down. And I was looking at it.
Why wouldn't
she?
She was actually such a young girl at the time as well. Like,
oh my God. Like they were literally, when they broke up, were they 22 or something?
They were very young. Yeah.
Oh, lads. It was brutal. Like, so your man anyway goes off and does his Cry Me a River video. It makes out that she cheated on him with this fellow Wade Robinson. And now it all turns out that apparently Justin Timberlake is a bit of a dickhead himself. So when he was with Britney, and I didn't know this at all until I started looking into it. Apparently he cheated with, do you know who I'm on about? I'll give you a hint. A Few Questions That I Need to Know.
Yes, yeah, I've seen this all over the internet as well. Now, those sisters are terrible for this because, no, you shouldn't blame the other woman, but the Appleton sisters have a bit of a track record with going off with other...
Really?
With men that are not necessarily available. Oh, yeah. Scratch the surface on the Appleton sisters. They have a dirty past. They've got a shady past. But nevertheless, Justin. But Justin apparently has cheated on everyone. Everyone that he's been with, including his lovely lady wife now, Jessica Biel. And somebody DM'd me there the other day, and this just blew my mind because I can't understand. Justin, Noodlehead Justin, cheated on Cameron Diaz. Who in the name of God?
I didn't know that. The attraction with him. I never did. Like, I don't think he's that good looking or anything. Like, I know the fame and everything. Some women were drawn to that, obviously, in his line of work or whatever. But I wouldn't have said he was gorgeous or anything. So he went off with your one, Nicole Appleton, when he was with Britney, right? Then towards the end of the affair, he had it off with one of his backing dancers, Jenna Dewan, right, who was married to Iran.
Yes, I've seen that, yeah.
Magic Mike, right? But then the absolute brass neck of him to be going around making it, that Crimea River thing. Do you know what I mean?
The worst thing I think... Oh, look, there's so much that bothered me. This week, I have watched all the videos, and of course, TikTok is kind of taking the piss out of him and just really hammering it hard with the Justin ick. And apparently now Brittany has alluded to the fact that he might have a tiny todger. But I have to say, he kind of does give that tiny todger energy. Yeah. That's kind of like, yeah.
Hashtag coca noodle head.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, what I didn't like, and it's just such a classic example of the way things were back then, and I do think things are a little bit better now, but he gave these interviews basically being high-fived for stealing Britney's virginity. And that just turns my stomach. Like, it really does. It's like...
Yeah, because they tried to let on that they were like this wholesome couple and they were saving themselves until they were married and all. And he was such a lad, like, when they broke up, wasn't he? He was like, oh, yeah, I hate that, like... Do you know what I mean? He was such a knobber, like.
Isn't it?
And as it turns out now, what's after coming out now with Britney's book is that apparently she had an abortion.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was Justin's baby. He wasn't ready to be a father or whatever. So I think now people are looking back at Justin at the time he was with Britney, and they're actually realizing this fella is a bit of a knobhead. Nothing to do with the abortion, like, but just in general, he's a bit of a go, like. And then when you think as well what he did with Janet Jackson, that wardrobe malfunction. Do you remember? Like, he totally let her take the full blame for that. He never kind of stood up for anything.
But in fairness, we can only blame Justin so much for that, because he did, but so did all of society. All of society had to get behind the fact that she was a whore and he was a hero.
Yeah.
Because if society didn't agree. Like, and this is, like, I did put up a thing giving out about him, and somebody kind of said, oh, something about the abortion. I was like, whoa. The abortion is a revelation that's come from the book, but I don't have a major issue with regard to that, because they were very young and perhaps they weren't ready to be parents. And
that's not what I'm giving out about Justin for.
That's fine. But all of those other behaviours where he's like high-fiving the lads, bragging that he got into Britney's pants, where he's shaming her, where he's trying to make her out to be a cheater and a whore, that is all because the bar was so low 20 years ago that we didn't even think any of that was a big deal. And now we're looking at it with the benefit of hindsight, and we're all a little bit older and a little bit more enlightened and woke, because we're all a bit more woke now. And now you watch the behaviours that we thought were okay 20 years ago, and you're watching them through fresh eyes, and you're like,
you can't be saying things like that. Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? He monetized off Britney, though. He really did. He's keeping this up for the best part of 20 years. Like,
he launched his successful solo career off the back of their separation. Like, he came out like the butterfly from the Cancun. He came out kind of like, look at me, like, I'm a survivor. I survived that cheating whore, Britney. Like, and she broke my heart, but you can all help me piece it back together. Like, it was marketing genius. And he came out and the fans embraced him, and he left NSYNC in the dust. But I follow this brilliant woman on TikTok. She's so good. And she's like a celebrity PR specialist. I love watching her take on things. So, you know, there a few weeks ago when you've got this thing of Taylor Swift in the audience and NSYNC emerged on stage, and it's like, and everybody's going nuts because they performed together for the first time in so many years. And then the paper's full of, OMG, will they do a reunion tour? La, 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 la. She was saying that is all part of this, so he knew that this book was coming out. So his teams have just rallied the troops to get him as many other conversations about him going as possible. She said the lowest thing that he's done in this last couple of weeks was introduce his children to the world. So he's never introduced his children to the media, and in the last couple of weeks there's him, Jessica, and the kids. He's decided now is a good time, and he's put them out there. They've been introduced to the world now as well. What she said was he could have saved himself a whole lot of hassle had he just come out and said, look, I'm 44, whatever age he is now. I'm married. I got a couple of kids. I'm watching that and I'm cringing because, you know, I'm a mature adult man now and I'm disgusted by my own behavior when I was 22 and 23. Mm. And that's all he needed to say. That's what she said. It was actually that simple. He just needed to come out and be like,
It'll be interesting to see what he does say. I'd say they'll wait until her book is out and see what else is in the book. But it'd be interesting to see is what he's going to say, if he's going to just completely ignore it. Is he going to make a statement? By rights, he has to say something. he has to come out and say something. And I think he should say, like what you were saying there, look, 20 years like, ago, look, I was
we were young, I was a dickhead. Yeah, of course. Like I was a dickhead. I did really shitty things. I'm embarrassed by myself. I would never behave like that now. And everybody just has to go, eh, fair, we were all dicks when we were younger and leave it. But he apparently, she says he's gone about it all wrong and he's trying to push this family angle rather than just come out and say, I'm older now, I've grown up, I understand, and you know, things
are different
now. I wonder,
are they questioning, because I saw an article, now it was on the Daily Mail, so I don't know if there's any truth in it, but there's a question saying that Jessica and Justin are absolutely shocked by this abortion claim and that he knew nothing about it and all this.
I don't know.
I hope he's not going to go down that alley now.
I would imagine she has receipts. I would say Brittany has to have something to back up these claims. They said that the book was initially, I can't remember the number, they basically said there's about 40 pages have been pulled from the book.
Yeah.
By not just Justin, apparently there's other people like that are very nervous about what's going into the book. So they said different lawyers managed to have approximately 40 pages pulled. So you can imagine, like, if we're getting the Colin Farrell, I've always wondered about the Colin Farrell thing.
Oh,
and that's
God,
in there as well.
What a, I saw that on the front of a paper there in Dungarvan. I was like, yeah, lucky, lucky. She's so lucky. She's a star. Oh my God. Like, he's delicious. Like, oh,
yeah.
It's like being in a street brawl. I was like, oh.
You can imagine the difference in reaction. So, like, when the PR company go to Justin and they say, here's the 10 pages about you, and he's having a shift fit. And then they go to Colin Farrell and they're like, here's the 10 pages about you. And he's reading them, going, yeah, sounds about right.
That's
yeah,
grand,
leave it
yeah.
in. Leave it in.
Approval on that. Oh, but I really do hope, I can't wait to get it. Like, but if she's not, I'm after ordering the audiobook because I can't be bothered using my eyes to read. But no, it's for when I'm out walking and stuff, you know, the audiobooks. But she's not narrating it herself. She's only doing like the first couple of paragraphs herself. And then that actress, Michelle Williams, I think, is reading it. No, I don't care who reads her the book as long as it's juicy gossip. But I hope now, because you know what? It's like after almost 20 years, she's finally getting to have her say about things. Like, she could have done a sit-down interview with Oprah and all, but I think there's, in a way, she's probably so fragile because people henpeck at her for everything. Like, we all know her Instagram videos are a bit nuts, right? But I don't know, is that her way of expressing herself? She's not doing any harm to anyone, well, yet, because she seems to be prancing around with knives there now, which I would say isn't the safest, like. But she's not harming anyone. Do you know what I mean? She's doing her own little thing there on Instagram. And I think this is a way for her to get her story out there, maybe get a bit of closure on everything that happened to her with her father, her family, with Justin and everything, and to set the record straight. I think maybe it might be a little bit of a fuck you, Justin, and everyone else after 20 years.
And everybody else. So they have your man, Kevin Federline, is there, the father of the two kids. Yeah. And he's looking for child support. I tried to move to a state that allowed child support up till they were 21, just to extend the number of years that he could continue to cash in on her. Like, God help her, every single person, her parents, her sibling, her husband, whatever, they've all taken such horrible advantage of her. Like, she's had an awful run. And even the latest guy, who we thought maybe he was a good guy, doesn't look like he was. He also tried to cash in on the divorce. So imagine how that must feel, never being able to trust anyone. Even if someone extends a little bit of kindness, your brain has to be like, what's the motive here?
Yeah,
what's in it for them? Because that's how it's been always, and that must be awful.
No, I hope it goes good for now, but I am very, very interested to see what happens next with them, Justin Timberlake, because like on social media, especially TikTok, he's just getting hammered, like, isn't he? Like, he's gone from like the cool bringing sexy back to kind of like, oh, he's a real dad, like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you see that video of him doing the dad
dance? Yeah, like, it's so bad.
Shirt and chinos.
I think it's because he was trying to do the sexy face while he was doing it, and you're like, oh, just stop.
No, we all do that after a few drinks, you know, when you're bopping around, and we all seem to do the, you know, the pose.
Yeah.
When the song comes on.
Who told us that was a sexy face? I don't know, but we all have it.
Honest to God, it's just like when an absolute banger comes on and you're like, oh yeah. And then I start trying to twerk and everything and I'm like, I can't do it. And I'm so uncoordinated. But you know, in the moment you think you're unreal. Like, oh, poor old Brittany. But then you were looking at another video then of talking about things from years ago and how lately they seem to be pulling up footage of people from years ago and things that they were said. Yeah, go on.
And I think it's a little bit unfair because, and even Justin, I don't have much defense for Justin. I still think he's a dick. But everything in context, his behavior at that time was culturally and socially acceptable. And it's only now, of course, we can see him look back and go, yeah. Oh, God. Emily Blunt gave an interview with Johnson Ross, and she's telling a funny story. And in the funny story, she fat shames a waitress. She makes special reference to the weight and size of the waitress. And there really was no need for it. Like, she could have told her story without saying that. Yeah, but she put it in. She got her cheap laughs and people are tearing her apart for it. But the thing is, she gave that interview, I think, 12 years ago. And even 12 years ago, it was a different space to the space that we have now. Like, and I don't know. The shitty comments, it's a shitty thing that she said, and she could have delivered her story without saying it. But it wouldn't have been unusual at that time for people to make fat jokes, fat comments. I mean, it was a very fatphobic society that we lived in. So I have a teeny tiny bit of sympathy for her because
Emily Blunt is very wholesome and everything. She's lovely.
Yeah. But
as you said, back then, people said things. And listen, I said this before, it happened to me. I used to work for Ryanair. I was a trolley dolly for Ryanair, right? I did fierce exotic flights. I was doing Dublin to Kerry, right? So on the way back from Kerry, I was going Farn Four up to Dublin. And you know, Kerry, no, like, there's characters, like. And these two fellas were on the plane. They're older fellas now. And this fella stopped me and he goes, Jesus, you would be a fine girl for doing farm work. He said to me. Right? So I went, you know. And you kind of laugh it off. But I went down the back of the plane and I was like, oh my God. Like, because obviously I wasn't skinny mini like, but I wasn't ginormous either. Do you know what I mean? Like, but at the time, people had no problem with saying something like that to your face and making a joke.
Come here. You know what I mean?
And as women as well, we automatically just went, ah, or, you know, I know who you are. I love the sausage or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And
all right, Lorna.
Like, and it was all wrong. It was absolutely all wrong. But I do think it's unfair to be pulling footage from 11 years ago because you have to remember.
11 and 12 years ago, because things have changed a lot. Absolutely. A lot. We keep talking about this on here all the time. And I know we've spoken about men and how men in particular are finding it quite difficult because there's been such a shift. It's almost hard to keep up, particularly if you're a little bit older, even if you're over 40, you're like, whoa. It's all, and there's Justin, actually, the exact right age. Like, that's a huge shift from the time Justin was 20 to the time he was 40. Yeah. Big, huge cultural change. So if you're a young lad now, if you're even 25 to 35, it's not such a big shift for you. You kind of grew up with it. But if you're suddenly in your 40s, you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, the world has changed. What I used to be able to say is no longer funny or acceptable. But it was. We used to have these jokes when we were in school or in college or on the building site or wherever the case may be. It all seems to have changed very, very quickly. And it is hard to keep up. I think there's positives. I think it's a good thing that we're looking at those comments and going, oh God, that's good, because it means we can obviously see things now that we didn't see 20 years ago. But Emily Blunt, I felt a little bit sad for her. Like, and you're talking there, but did anyone have a nanny that didn't just straight out tell them when they're after putting on a few pounds? Because my nanny was rude. My nanny would say, oh, here now, you know, you rest easy on the digestives, you have to put on a few pounds.
And you'd be like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, my nanny was, she'd just tell you out straight, like, brutal. Yeah, nannies could be very cruel, couldn't they?
They could. Straight talkers, but a little bit, ow, that hurt my feelings.
oh
yeah,
nanny.
Just gas, like, isn't it? Poor old Emily Blunt, but I don't know. I don't agree with this pulling stuff from the past and stuff. It's like what they do now, like with films and stuff. I think films that were made years and years and years
ago, in their time,
let them be. Do you know what I mean? Don't try.
Have you watched Mean Girls? Not Mean Girls. White Chicks.
Years and years ago, I think.
I watched it years ago. I thought it was brilliant. I remember cracking up laughing at all of the jokes. I watched it again there a few months ago, and oh my God, like, there's rape jokes in White Chicks that I don't ever remember being offended by. When there's this big joke where your man is like slipping roofies into your one drink, like, and then he accidentally slips it into a man's drink, but then takes advantage of the man anyway And the man's like, oh, I could walk after that. Ha ha ha. And we all laughed. I laughed. Like, not now, but like, when I remember when I watched it the first time, I thought the whole movie was hilarious.
Yeah.
When I watched it there recently, I literally was like, oh my God. Like, it's.
Yeah. It's actually, there was another.
Like,
what was on there a couple of weeks ago? The Full Monty. And do you remember the Full Monty was huge at the time? But I was watching that and like some of the things they said at the start, I was going, you can't say that now. Like I was a little bit offended, like watching it, and I was going, I thought this film was great, like back in the day. I remember it as being, God, that was a great, hilarious film. Like, but it's when you watch these ones back and you kind of go, Jesus. Now at the same time too, I think that, you know, those films were made at a time when that was the norm. So just let them be. Like, I don't see why they keep trying to remake all these films and trying to make them PC and all. Like, that's the way it was. You can't rewrite history. Like, so just let them be. But like, oh God, I don't know. I just think Snow White, you know, they're remaking Snow White. And
now that bothers me. That really does bother me. Oh, Jesus, like that's you've just changed the entire plot of the movie.
Yeah.
That's so weird. And Little Britain, there. So many of those sketches now are just being like deleted off the internet. Like, now, in fairness, I think we kind of knew they were wrong even the first time around.
Oh, they really pushed it to the limits, though, didn't they?
They did.
At the time, and you'd laugh at it because it was like, oh, nearly nervous laughing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be laughing at that. But yeah, no, Little Britain did go a bit too far, right? And
you're watching it now, like, going, wow, oh my God, who even let that be on the TV? Like, I don't think it, and somebody go, oh, snowflakes. No, not so much. Some of it's actually disgusting. Some of it's actually extremely offensive, and it's nothing to do with being a snowflake. It's not right, like, because any of this stuff when you market it to, I think there's a space in comedy. There's always a space for dark humor, inappropriate humor, all sorts. There is a space. You go see a comedy show. Sometimes the jokes are horrendous, but you usually know with the comedian what you've signed up for and what you've gone to see, and that's fine. I think when you take a program and you push it onto primetime TV of a weekend where families are sitting down to watch, you need to be more careful. Even 10 years ago, even 15 years ago, you know, it's not someone buying a ticket to go see a specific type of comedy. You've told us it's fine because you've put it on mainstream TV in the middle of primetime family viewing. That means you're telling me that this is acceptable. And that's interesting because it's kind of like that's how the bar is set. That's how we decide what's okay, what's not okay, what's pushing a boundary, what's not pushing a boundary. That's why you'll have certain episodes of EastEnders or whatever pushed after the Watershed, because
the context is going to be
inappropriate. But when you're putting something like Little Britain on the TV at primetime weekend family, then you're telling everybody that it's okay.
Yeah.
And it definitely
nowadays
wasn't,
like, it's just not nowadays. Come here, talking about primetime family viewing, I was laughing at your WhatsApp earlier because you wanted to touch on Patrick Keelty's pouch.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I absolutely do not want to touch Patrick Keelty's pouch. Lord God, I didn't watch the Late Late Show on Friday. I don't remember why. I fell asleep on the couch. I was knackered. I fell asleep on the couch on Friday.
Are you watching it though, Audrey? I'm not watching it at all. I'm not feeling it at all since Patrick Keelty. Lovely fella. And I mean, he's trying his best, I think, to make it fun and stuff. But I would love to see the ratings.
The ratings.
Yeah,
well, all I know is that clip of him in the ballerina trousers with the pouch. Oh, I've seen it too many times. I mean,
what was that about? Like Jean-Claude Van Damme must be looking at us going,
what the hell? Irish, this is their primetime TV show. Yeah. Like, oh God. Yeah, no, that's been all over the place. But actually, do you know what else I was watching? I watched it yesterday and it's so good. If you haven't watched it yet, watch the Waggett to Christie documentary.
Oh, it's on my list. I haven't seen it yet.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And oh, so good. I watched them both. There's two episodes there back to back. I think it was at half one, like before I was going to bed last night. Oh my God, excellent. Because I can't really spoil it because you kind of know what happened, but when you're watching it and you're watching how it was all pieced together and the pieces of the jigsaw are kind of being put in and you're like, oh my God, and that, how it ends. Colleen maintains this face. She's like, but in her eyes, you can see her actually going, like, it's hilarious the way she does it. She just remains totally composed, but you can actually, like, you can almost hear her mind screaming. Very good. I was pregnant when that whole thing broke. I was saying in my story yesterday, and I had to go in for that gestational diabetes glucose test, you know, where you're there like for hours. And while I was there, that scandal broke. And I remember sitting in the waiting room, reading it, getting into it. And then it was like, it was Rebecca Vardy's account. Oh my God. It was such an amazing day. It was like, you know, I was in there to the nurses. It was great. I was refreshing my timeline. The internet went wild. There was memes everywhere. Like, it was amazing. And what in the name of God Rebecca Vardy was thinking when she chose to take your one to court over with not a leg to stand on. Oh, the audacity.
Do you know what? Like, is she in the... She's not in the documentary, is she, Rebecca Vardy?
She doesn't... She's not interviewed in the documentary, but, like, there's media footage of her giving other interviews, like, obviously. Yeah. It's so good. And actually, what made me laugh as well is the stark contrast between Colleen and Wayne Rooney and Victoria and David Beckham, because, you know, technically they were in the same circles for a time there. And so I'm thinking about how the Rebecca Lewis affair was handled in the Beckham documentary. Very fleeting. It was just kind of... never actually directly mentioned, just referred to as a difficult time in the relationship. And, you know, they dealt with it quite well. Like, they acknowledged distress and then they moved on. This is hilarious because they obviously, Wayne has had multiple indiscretions during
the
course of their
marriage. Again, he's another fella. What do people see in him either? Like, it's the fame and fortune, obviously, like, because it's...
Well, she is so funny. There's no...
Are you all right?
I thought I was going to sneeze. There's no getting away from it in her. She's gas. She just acknowledges it head on. She's just like, yeah.
Does she?
She's just like, see, they met when they were only 11 or 12 years of age. They were kids. And they are each other's first boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, she doesn't know anything else. And she kind of even says that. She's kind of like, I don't know a world that exists without him in it. Like, but she's not stupid about it. It's kind of weird. She's kind of like, he's a dickhead. He's done some really shit dickhead things, you know, but whatever, like, we work through it. And she just acknowledges it. And then her mom is on, and her mom is almost like a mother to him as well, because I guess they kind of maybe were reared up together. And she's like, look, I love Wayne dearly. I love him as if he were my own, but there are times I could box the head off him for the carry on of him, and when he upsets Colleen. And so it's weird, they don't even try to dodge,
just cover it up or anything.
They're just straight in. But they can't, because it was a different kind of cheating. Well, first of all, didn't he have his first sexual encounter with a prostitute, an older lady? I remember it was like, what was it, Shaggy Gran or something, like, or
he really disgraced Colleen, like, though, didn't he really disgraced her. And that's where I feel sorry for her, because I know now she's saying she doesn't know any different, and she has the comfortable life and everything now, and it's obviously harder when you have kids and stuff, but he made such a fool out of her, like, and it's up to her if she wants to forgive him, and, you know, geez, that's her own business, like, but it's sad to see as well, isn't it? Because it wasn't just one time that he did it to her.
Oh no,
it
was multiple times.
He repeatedly did it to her. He could still be.
Well, this is it. They addressed the most recent one, which was quite recent. Do you remember there was the story of him drunk driving in the car? And I think they had a collision or something in the car. And it was him in the car with a woman that wasn't Colleen.
Yeah.
And then that woman went and gave an interview to the press. Like, and that was probably the most recent time. And they talk about that too. So this is very different documentary to Posh and Beck's. This is like...
Because Rebecca Lewis has come out now as well and has given her interviews. Which I don't know why she's coming out giving her interviews, because obviously we all know it was Rebecca Lewis that they were talking about in Beckham, but they never mentioned he had an affair. They never mentioned her by name.
No.
So I'm kind of going, like, I'm assuming she was doing whatever she was doing, living her life, and people had kind of forgotten about. She's kind of drawn attention to herself now again. So I don't know, I'm kind of going, does she want to be in the spotlight or?
Desperately.
Yeah.
No, she does. I mean, do you remember she did every reality TV show going afterwards? Like, she didn't even just sell her story and move on. She did all sorts of weird reality TV shows. She did do an interview, no problem. Like, she's definitely hungry for 5 minutes. And I'd be embarrassed at this point to be her, because I have to say, whoever produced the Beckham documentary did a beautiful job, because they hinted at the affair but didn't go into it. And at the end of it all, they still portrayed them as a really solid couple. So why she would want to pop her head back up, I don't know, because it looks as if they won they won, they're together, they're happy, they're successful, they have their kids.
Yeah, she's just trying to make a bit of money off it now as well. That's literally all that is now at this stage. Oh my God, I don't know. Come here, this episode has turned into a right celebrity episode, hasn't it?
It didn't mean
to turn into that. And come here to me, we have no begging to do this week. We've been begging at you there for the past few weeks about the Irish Podcast Awards and Listener's Choice. The voting lines have closed. Counts have been verified. Well, I don't know if they've been verified, to be honest.
Yeah, actually, we have no idea.
We have no idea what's going on with them. But we just want to say thanks very much to everyone who has voted. And I know you all sent your screenshots as well to my Instagram and stuff. And I know you probably got some as well.
Yeah.
So thank you very, very much. It doesn't go unappreciated. And if we win, we'll do something nice for you. I don't know what, but we'll do something nice. We might have a little party or something, a little soiree or something. You never know. So look, we're going to head off now and we'll be back again with another episode next week. So have a good week and best of luck to everyone. See you, Audrey.
See you. Bye.